I made my way into television news through radio, interestingly enough. Back in 1968, I applied for a job here at then WHYN Radio and TV. It was an AM-FM radio station and television station. So my first opportunity to be a newscaster in Western Massachusetts came on the radio. I was the backup to the drive time radio newscaster Ron Russell at the time. So I got my start in radio back in 1968, and I was fortunate because I was able to seamlessly transition into television reporting because we were a radio and television operation. So after a couple of years of getting my experience on the radio side, I had the opportunity to transition into television. I opted for that, and as soon as I started doing television reporting, I realized that this is the way I like to proceed in my professional career. So I transitioned into TV from there, and it's been television since.
Did you ever imagine that it would last this long?
At the beginning, no. I mean, when you think of 50 years, five decades, 1968 to 2018, that's a big chunk of time. And when you first start, all you're trying to do is do the best job you can and, hope you'll get some good stories to do, meet some interesting people. There was a thought at times perhaps I'd be moving on to different markets. But I'm from Western Massachusetts. My wife's from Western Massachusetts. Our family is here. One thing led to another. I love the people of this area in Western Mass. So as time went on, we established roots in Western Mass, and I lived my life here for the last 50 years in broadcasting. So it's worked out well. I have no regrets about being in Western Mass, and I met my wife about a year after I started on the radio. She walked into the station. Her sister was the receptionist at the time. We started dating, and within a year, we were engaged and married. So that solidified my roots here in Western Mass. We raised our kids here. We have three kids who are grown up now and moved on. So Western Massachusetts has been my home all along, both personally and professionally.
Was there any thought about maybe leaving the news business, though? Not necessarily leaving Western Massachusetts where your roots are, but have you ever had any offers or any thoughts about going into public relations or something similar?
That crossed my mind a couple of times, but in the end, when I really thought about it, I realized that the passion I have is in broadcasting, is in being a reporter, a television news reporter. So I always gravitated back toward that. So I love the job. It's a passion I've had. I've worked with wonderful people over the years, and I love the people of Western Mass. So it's television news has really been number one for me throughout.
What are some of the stories you remember covering? I don't want to ask you what your favorite one was, but I mean, because that's kind of a tough thing. What over a 50-year career, what stands out as some of the biggest stories you've covered?
One of the most memorable in my career was my first big television news story, and this was during that transition period from radio into television. I had the opportunity, was asked to cover the return of POWs to Westover Air Force Base, POWs who were captured in North Vietnam, held in captivity, and actually tortured over there. But they were being released coming home. And these POWs had local connections. They were stationed at Westover. They had family and friends in Western Massachusetts. So that very first story I covered, that POW story, when the POWs flew into the tarmac at Westover, it was nighttime. There were hundreds of people there, family members, friends, community leaders, a band was playing. And when these individual POWs got off the airplane, walked down the steps and started crossing the tarmac to where their loved ones were, the family members just ran toward the plane and toward these POWs. Hugs, kisses, tears of joy. You couldn't believe the scene there. It gave everybody goosebumps. Everybody was brought to tears. But this gave me an idea, I think, of the power of television in covering an event like that, the emotion, the drama that was involved in that POW return. So that story stuck with me. And also it gave me an appreciation of the sacrifice our veterans have made. You realize that the freedoms we enjoy today as Americans are due to our veterans. And That includes freedom of the press, and I'm thankful for that each and every day of my life that these veterans have sacrificed for us. But that story really sticks out in terms of human emotion and impact.
And you've just, and it was 50 years ago, and you described it like it happened yesterday. So obviously, it did really make an impression.
It sure did. I can remember that very, very distinctly. And you know, some dates and times and stories just stick out in your mind. But I think since that was my first major TV story, and it was so impactful that you'll never ever forget the emotions of that day. And I could see those people. I mean, the wives and the mothers and the kids just running out, tears of joy, and it was totally an emotional experience.
What about some of the people that you've covered, or some of the people that you've worked with? Do you have any particularly memorable characters that you've encountered along the way?
Well, let's see. I'll say this fondly, but the first person who comes to mind is my former news director, Durham Caldwell, because it was Durham who hired me. And as a young reporter coming out of college looking for that first job, you never ever forget the person who perhaps saw a little bit of potential in you and who decided to give you that first job. I applied for the job at WHYN Radio, and at that time, HYN was a powerhouse. It was top 40, it was number one in the market. It had the most popular radio personalities and disc jockeys on the air, like Phil D. It had an experienced and award-winning news department led by Durham Caldwell, John Deegan, Dave Scott, Ron Russell, people like that. So I was a rookie coming into that lineup, trying to crack that lineup. So it was a little bit intimidating. But Durham, thank goodness, gave me the opportunity, hired me, and served as a great mentor for me over the years, because you'll recall in 68, that was a tumultuous year. 10 days before I was hired at the station, Martin Luther King was killed in Memphis. Less than 2 months after I was hired, Bobby Kennedy was killed in Los Angeles, assassinated. Then you had the Democratic National Convention that year in Chicago, violence over the Vietnam War protest. You had civil rights demonstrations going on all over the country, including many right here in Springfield. So it was a busy, busy year in terms of news events. And thankfully, I had Durham and the others there to mentor me, that I looked up to kind of keep my head above the water and get my feet on the ground as a reporter.
Talk a little bit about maybe behind-the-scenes stuff and how television news has changed in 50 years. I mean, I think people see it on their screens, you know, every night, certainly, but they may not be cognizant of how much really has changed in the way the way it's presented.
The technology has changed so dramatically, it's almost incomprehensible. When we first started shooting our TV stories back in the early 70s, we were shooting on 16-millimeter film with Bolex cameras. And we would go out, a photographer and I, photographer would do the shooting of the story and record interviews, news events, what was happening. But then we'd have to come back to the station here. We had a whole separate room that processed the film. I mean, a chemical process where the film was put on reels, gone through the chemicals, and then developed. After that, the photographers had to take the raw film that was processed and developed, chop it up into segments, glue it together on reels. Those reels would be put on projectors, and that would be the news story that ran on the air. So it was a very tedious, complicated process. Then we went from film to videotape, and eventually computers, digital technology, to high-definition television today. So the change has been just unbelievable in terms of the technology as it advanced over the years. You know, we go out on the road now with a backpack called a Live View, and if we can get a cell phone signal, we can do a live shot from anywhere. And that was just, you know, you didn't think of that back in 68 or 70 when you were on the road like that. So the technology is pushing the business in terms of getting the news on, getting more news on, and getting it on more timely.
I guess the basics, though, haven't changed, right? You still have to be there to sort out the facts and to tell people what those facts are.
100%. You know, the technology has changed so dramatically, Paul, but the basic job of a reporter is the same, and you know that. I mean, you go to a story, you've got to get the facts, you've got to be objective, you've got to get both sides of the story, and you've got to present it in a very, very timely fashion under deadline pressure. So from a reporter's point of view, yeah, the interviews, the information, the facts you assimilate, and when it, you know, when all is said and done as a reporter, you want to be as fair and as objective as you can. And if people who are watching your story, listening to your story, say, you know, that guy's a good reporter. I've listened to him. I've watched him. He gets his facts straight. He asks good questions. He delves into the facts, and he's honest. He presents both sides of the story. And as a reporter, that's what you strive for day in and day out.
It's the last few weeks, I imagine, have been kind of a whirlwind for mm-hmm. you as the countdown to your final days on the air. I know that obviously your station's been doing a lot of promotions, and there have been a lot of tributes paid to you. But what's it been like? Is it been a little bit overwhelming to be kind of the center of attention?
It sure has. You know, I think in the past week I've actually been interviewed by people like yourself more than the interviews I have done as a reporter in the field, which tells you something. But I've been getting a lot of calls for interviews, a lot of calls, a lot of accolades that have come in, and people, you know, I've seen on the street going out covering news stories who say, you know, hey, I've never met you before. I just wanted to say thanks for all your service, and we enjoyed your work over the years and so forth. So it has been kind of a whirlwind of public response and media response. And, you know, I've got my family coming in for the big day on Friday. So it's been very, very busy and hectic and kind of emotionally draining, too, you know, not just physically but emotionally, because, you know, lots going through my mind. I mean, I've got 50 years here, you know, thinking about, and just the people I've worked with over the years and the people here in Western Mass, the stories I've covered. So it's been a whirlwind, to say the least.
Last question. What are the plans for retirement? What are you going to do?
First thing I'm going to do is smell the roses a little. I've got to sit back, relax with my wife of 48 years, Maureen, and goodness gracious, without her support over the years, I wouldn't be in this position as well. When I worked those crazy hours in TV, you know, weekends, nights, holidays, Maureen helped raise our three kids over the years, and you know, kept my feet on the ground and kept my head from getting too big. So we're going to spend some time together. We've got kids in different areas. My son's in Rochester. I've got daughters in Columbia, Maryland, Richmond, Virginia. So we're going to do some traveling, see the grandkids. I've got six grandchildren right now. But just sit back, take a deep breath, just unwind for a while. There's a lot of volunteer work we like to do in the community, so we'll continue with that and see what happens. You know, you know, I'll get some interesting offers or calls or whatever, but it's going to be an opportunity, I think, to sit back, unwind a little, and realize that I'm not really closing the book on Ray Herschel. I'm just opening up a new chapter, a different chapter now as we move forward.